subtitle, or So Long Mayberry. And I have a reason for calling it that. Let's start. I'm going to pray. I didn't forget, okay? I'm just not praying yet. We're going to start, like all good Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday messages, we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. God's been impressing this on my heart for a little bit of a while, and I can't let it go. It's kind of like my personal instruction manual, roadmap for the days ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not a typical passage to share on a Resurrection Sunday message. I've never been accused of being a typical pastor, not even a typical Calvary Chapel pastor. Yet, like Esther of old, here we are for such a time as this. Let's pray. Father, help me communicate what I think you've put on my heart in such a way that we get what you wanted, what it is that you want us to get here this morning. Lord, at the end of the day, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be wise. We want to be good. And we want to be a benefit to those around us. Please help us, Lord. Expand our ministries. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's no use putting our heads in the sand, pretending we all live in Mayberry while watching Leave It to Beaver on our black and white television sets, all while wearing our bell bottoms and drinking Tang. Those days are gone for good, and it's no use pretending they're coming back. I remember during the pandemic, oh, when's it going to get back to normal? When's it going to get back to normal? Everyone's asking me, when's it going to get back to normal? Normal's gone. And like the men of Issachar, it's in 1 Kings, or I can't remember exactly. The men of Issachar, they understood the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. I think that's kind of what I want to be. I want to understand where we are, what's going on, and in light of that, what we ought to be doing. You know, we had these Wednesday night meetings in homes before we kind of recoalesced and met back here. And I used to start those off with what I call the icebreaker question. Well, I didn't call it that originally. I mean, others came up with that. But I had an icebreaker question. It's kind of get to know you. And kind of start us off, you know, thinking about things. And they were, you know, Coke or Pepsi, Burger King and McDonald's, text or phone. You know, kind of lighthearted, a lot of them. Some of them were a little bit, what's your favorite Bible book and why? What's your favorite psalm? Read it to us. What's this, what's that? And one that I came up with, and I was looking for it yesterday. I couldn't find it exactly. So this isn't the exact list that I had. But I started one of our Wednesday at Home Fellowships meetings with a question that read, which one of these concerns you most? UAPs, AI, transhumanism, digital currency, the Great Reset, World Economic Forum, wokeism, rise of anti-Semitism, rise of persecution of the church, porous borders, erosion of the Constitution? And I had explained several of these and why it should be a concern. And I'm going to share a couple of these and why it should be a concern. I don't know what you're thinking about all the time. And I certainly don't know what you're praying about. But I was, okay, so when I talk in UAPs, you're thinking, what? It used to be called UFOs, okay? Unidentified flying objects. Now it's unidentified aerial phenomena. And it's those orbs along with flying saucers, aliens, the whole thing. I think this is, in my thinking, the great lie. The day after the rapture, where did tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people go? Well, you know, the aliens, our space brothers come and they took them away. They're going to re-educate them. They're safe. They'll be back when they're ready for the next step in human evolution. And they're really our creators anyway. Back along they came. They seeded the earth. And any belief in God, well, they're the closest thing we have. They're the gods to us. I think that's likely scenario, but I don't know. I'll be watching it from the mezzanine. I like to be able to say, I told you so, but I won't be here to tell you so, but you'll be with me and we'll settle that all later on anyway. Who cares, right? Transhumanism. And people are like, what's transhumanism? People, they are building hybrids in most every technological advance. They're trying to get us, they're changing our DNA in such and such a way. By the way, I'm not getting any jab, any vaccine, anything that messes with my mRNA, RNA, DNA. And if you've done that, I'm not your judge. Please, please. Some guys, you know, step and say, I got a wife, I've got a child, support, I got a family, God bless you. I hope it works out great for you. Me, you're not messing with my DNA, okay? It's all I got. You ain't playing around with it. I think this about Revelation 13. Why, when you receive the mark, are you ineligible for salvation? That does not sound like our God. If you simply say, well, I'm going to worship the Antichrist, isn't there a place where you can go back where you can repent and God will forgive you? Well, not if you're not human. Jesus died for humanity. What if, when you receive the mark, it's an implant, a chip or some kind, or something like that? And here's the quid pro quo. Hey, listen, you're not going to be able to buy and sell unless you have this. But beyond that, we're going to make you immortal. We're going to change you in such a way that you live forever. Oh, I'm first in line. I want that, right? Oh, well, what if it changes you so you're not human anymore? Therefore, you're ineligible. Just an idea. Is this what the Bible teaches? Well, I don't know that. I can't say that. But some people have guessed. But people are trying to make the soldier that doesn't need food, that doesn't need rest, that just doesn't show mercy, or, you know, trying to build a super soldier. They're very far down the line. How much do you have to be changed before you're not human anymore? They say 1%. Like I say, leave my DNA out of this. I'm not interested. The Great Reset in the World Economic Forum, interesting to me. Rise of anti-Semitism. I never thought I'd live to see that. I thought the last time the world was anti-Semitic, we compare people to Hitler when we're trying to give you an unfavorable impression of that guy. He's Hitler. And that's the ultimate. And here we are, following in his footsteps. After October, I never thought I'd live long enough to see that. Incredible. And people who I thought were clear-thinking people, who weren't haters, all of a sudden hating in a direction that porous borders, that goes without saying. AI, it's artificial intelligence. Does that concern you? It should. Are we headed for a singularity where the AI takes over, like the movie Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator, which, how did you know that? You should repent. You should never watch that. I'm joking, of course, because I saw it, and yeah, I probably never should have watched it either. But anyway, that was what happened. That was the premise of the artificial intelligence took over and said, what are we doing with humans anyway? Let's get rid of them. Let's exterminate them. I don't believe in that. But I believe that in Revelation 13 again, they're going to use artificial intelligence to determine who's eligible to buy and sell. They do it in China now. You know, I had a following in China. Michael would tell me. No, I'm serious. When I had a podcast, I had a following in China. I don't know. An English-speaking group, apparently. And people were downloading my podcast. And Michael was telling me that. I said, really? In China? Not now. That was before. And now they have this social credit score. You ain't going to be able to travel. You ain't going to be able to buy stuff. You listen to that crazy American guy who shares the gospel. Anybody. They don't allow stuff from America, especially gospel. Is that coming here? Yeah. Yeah, I think when is the question, not if. But that's just the way I look at it. And I would couple that up with digital currency. Is that going to happen? It's been signed into executive order, and they're waiting for the next crisis to occur when they can slide that in, along with back to 6 feet, masks, the next pandemic. Wokeism. You can lose your job if you don't pretend that men can become women and women can become men. So we all have to make pretend. This very hairy person I'm talking to, pretending to be a woman, and I got to pretend too. Oh no, sweetheart, you look wonderful in that dress. And if I don't tote the note and play along, my career is over. Which, by the way, I don't care. I mean, I so don't care. But I want to leave on my terms. And it's funny because in the job I'm at now, I said I'd be a steward. I'm steward of the whole everybody, no matter what your beliefs are. It's kind of a, you know, I went out of the frying pan into the fire in one way. Another way, I'm very free to talk about whatever I want, which is really good. When I was, you know, a safety director, I was like company representative, and there's things I couldn't say because if I was saying them, the owner of the company was saying them. And I understood how, you know, a fiduciary responsibility, I understood how that worked. Now I can say anything I want. But I can't, there's a political correctness that if all I can do is just cross that, and I'm unemployed, which, again, I don't care, but, you know, again, I want to leave on my terms. By the way, my terms are the end of the year. I'm all done. I'm going to be full-time pastor. I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, wokeism, that is a concern, should be a concern. The rise of persecution of the church. We're heading on a trajectory where you can't hate or say anything bad about anybody in America. If you want to hurt their feelings, forget about it. Except if you're a Christian, then game on, persecution, fine. We can say anything. We can do anything. We can't be haters, except if people love Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you're a hater if you don't hate them. I've never been there. The erosion of the Constitution. This one upsets me more than most, okay? Freedom of speech is such an important thing. Freedom of spirituality and religion and your ability to worship. People, our blood and treasure has shed their blood to secure these freedoms for us, and we're just giving them away. The White House calls up YouTube. Hey, we have this video. We don't like it. Take it down. Like, old-fashioned, right? We don't want this. Take it down. Take it down now. Or we're going to have to re-examine some licensing that you have and things like this. They're being talked about in Congress all the time. The government of America censoring its citizens. November's coming. You know what to do. Listen, I don't know why we're talking about this, and I certainly think that maybe this day isn't the most appropriate time. Well, it gets worse. Message from the White House came out Friday. I'm not going to read the entire thing, a couple of paragraphs. Today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. You are America. And my entire administration and I have your back. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. He had 365 to choose from. Was this sand in your eyes? Oh, yes. You're saying, Adam, I don't know. You know, before he was, his brain was evaporating. And I don't say that with glee. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't think he could have planned that. Him or somebody around him, he's got handlers. I think he's kind of in a puppet situation, okay? I'm trying to be gracious, all right? He had all the days in the... He picked March 31st. Is that a slap in the face? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Accidental. Just... You think it's accidental? You're the guy who buys lottery tickets, I'm sure. Yeah, it could happen. All right, anyway. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work towards eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. What violence and discrimination are we talking about? Because I've never seen that. But as far as lifting up the lives and voices of... No, I'm sorry, I won't be participating there. In witness thereof, I have... heretofore set my hand this 29th day of March in the year of our Lord, and the fact that he wasn't struck down immediately is only a testimony to God's great graciousness. It's the year of the Lord. Is the year of his Lord? Well, let God be the judge. In the year of the Lord, 2024, and of the Independence of the United States of America, the 248th. Joseph R. Biden, Jr., we have come a long way from Mayberry. You say it's Easter Sunday morning. Why are we talking about these things? Because it's Resurrection Sunday, I believe it's a glorious time to focus on what's truly important. If we're going to live in such a time as this, it behooves us to realize what's going on from a biblical perspective and what God is calling us to do. At this time, I'd ask you to open up to Psalm chapter 2. Or click to Psalm, whatever you want to do, right? Okay, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? 2024, are the heathen raging, are the people imagining a vain thing? Well, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, against his anointed, read here, against his Christ, against his Messiah. This isn't accidental, okay, this is very specific. They are against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. This ain't the first time this has happened. You remember that faithful, we call it, Good Friday, which from my thinking happened on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and I'm kind of leaning more towards Wednesday. There's some Ken Johnson material that has to do with the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Essene calendar. I can hook you up with if the Calvary Chapel pastors were talking about this all yesterday, and I was thinking, well, finally, y'all get on board. Because I had felt like if I was sharing this stuff, they'd call me like a heretic. If anyone doesn't kind of move with the... But so I just keep things to myself when I kind of discover them first sometimes. But I'm glad they're kind of all on it now. Good Friday's kind of never was a thing with me. I just don't believe in it. You can't do three nights and 3 days from Friday to Sunday. And Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, in the heart of the earth, however you, there's different. Okay, 3 days and three nights is 3 days and three nights. And the whole thing was, well, part of gays. Forget about it. Anyway, at that time, what you'd call Good Friday, which wasn't, again, Friday, we have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man rule over us. Let his blood be upon us and on his children. There's a lot of prophecy about this. Jesus says, I'm not going to come back until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. What's going to happen? Israel repents before Jesus comes back. I'm not saying comes back for his church. That could happen, hopefully, during this teaching now, but that would be my hope. But that could happen any time. But when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, that's not going to happen until Israel says, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus said that. Okay? But they're saying, we're not going to have, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Great reset. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Oh yeah, I'll let you reset. I'll let you have your day in the sun. I'll let you play your little games. It's going to go very badly, by the way. Have you read my book, the book of the Revelation? It's got some really scary parts. You want a great reset? I'll show you a great reset. Anyway, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Does that scare you? It should. The wrath of God should scare you. You say, well, I'm delivered from his wrath. Good, you're right. Theologically, you're correct. That's what Thessalonians teaches us. But just the wrath of God. I read Revelation, I quake in my boots and thinking like, God, thank you, Lord, for saving me from this. He shall speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Zion's a geographical place, and it's always an allusion to the kingdom age. You know, when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're praying something actual that will actually happen. I have set my king, that anointed that you're saying, we're not going to, let's break his bands. We're not going to have him rule over us. Oh, yes, you are, God says. And he overrules, and I'm so glad that he does. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This is in the Old Testament, by the way. Psalm 2 is in the Old Testament. So if you're a rabbi reading this, I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with that. You fall on your knees and worship Jesus Christ as Messiah. That's what you do with it if you know what's good for you. And I'll show you why in a minute. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Listen, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I would say you guys are blessed. You blessed ones who have put your trust in him. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 34:8. You can just listen to these because I'm not going to wait for you to turn pages. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 91:9, in a few other verses, says, because ye have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On the hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Jesus has given us power to tread on lions and adders, both symbols of Satan, by the way. You think he's stymied by the likes of Klaus Schwab or the director of the World Health Organization or a plethora of others I could name? There are 100 refuge. I just read some verses on taking refuge in God. There are 100 refuge verses in Psalms alone. I mean, we haven't talked about the cities of refuge and what that's symbolic of and all that stuff. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 5. I'm reading from the ESV. You can go there if you can follow along if you want. You know, we read this during communion sometimes. Then I saw in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne a scroll written and on the back sealed with 7 seals. Now, you wouldn't know that, what that is. When we get to the book of Ruth, which is, we got one more study in Judges, we're going to go to Ruth. This is a title deed. You can read that in Jeremiah. It's sealed with seals. You break the seal, there's a condition of the breaking the seal. Only a kinsman redeemer can redeem. Who's the God of this world? Well, Jesus is. Well, we're told that Satan is a usurper. Adam was given dominion over the earth, and he forfeited it in sin. Satan picked up the fumble, and he's been running with it. Jesus redeemed it to himself, but he hasn't taken control of it. It's like when you buy a property, you give them earnest money, you give them a down payment, set it up, but you didn't move in. It's that period right there. Let's say somebody's living in your house that you purchased. When you get there, you're going to kick them out. Well, in America, that's iffy, but you would kick them out and you say, get out of here. This is my house, and you would show them the deed. This is Jesus taking possession of the earth. That's what those seals are all about. So he saw in the right hand of him was seated on the throne. That's Father God. A scroll written and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. The words there is he sobbed convulsively. You think, what's your problem? What are you, just that curious? What's the issue here? The title deed of the earth. What's being said here is no one can redeem the earth. It's always going to be this bad, and it's only going to get worse, and it's never going to get better. I'd cry too, but I read the book. And one of the elders said to me, elders are the coolest people in the whole wide world. You know why? Because of this. Weep no more. They comfort. Oh, you know, stop your crying. Here's a Kleenex. No. There's a reason for the weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We just sang about him, okay? We just got finished praising his holy name. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. So he's looking now. He's just lions who come roaring in. He's waiting for this. And behold, and between the throne and the 4 living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb standing. Wait, where's the lion? Oh, he's the lion and the lamb. Good choice, by the way. Good choice. Praise God. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Wait a second, Adam, as though it had been slain? You're saying Jesus still bears the marks of his crucifixion in heaven? Yes. Yes. I think he wears them like a badge of honor. It's my thinking. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes. What? Seven horns, all powerful, seven eyes, all seeing, all knowing, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who is seated on the throne. Why? Because he has the authority to redeem. So he takes the scroll from the right hand of him who's seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people to God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a king and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." He was slain. What's he doing? Taking scrolls or redeeming or what? It's presupposing resurrection. When I was reading Isaiah 53, I was trying to, "And he shall prolong his days." I took a breath. I waited for a second, tried to be dramatic. Prolong his days. He was wiped out. He was cut off on the land of the living. Read here, dead, murdered, killed for a crime that he didn't commit. Who did? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Yes, and by his stripes we are healed. Praise God. He ransomed people by his blood, but here he is, alive and well, and at the right hand of God eternally. Praise his holy name. Presupposes resurrection. You've made them, these redeemed ones, a kingdom and priests. I like kings and priests better. We're going to rule and reign with them. Only three kings and priests in all scripture. You see, the king dynasty, king line is Judah, and the priest is Levi, and so it's two different tribes. You can't be a king and a priest, except Melchizedek, because that was before the law, except Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. And he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's a king and a priest. And who else? You. You and me, by virtue of what he's done for us in redeeming us. He's made us kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." How many is that, by the way? Seven. Should not surprise anybody. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." This sounds like a song we sang. Crazy stuff, right? And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. Okay, another passage I want to read. Exodus, several chapters from the book of Isaiah. You can follow along if you want. This is Isaiah chapter 63, and this is the Lord's Day of Vengeance. I read part of this from time to time. I don't read the whole thing, but I want to read this whole passage. "Who is this who comes from Edom in crimson garments? From Bozra," Edom, modern-day Jordan. Bozra, you'd call it Petra. And you saw it in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when he's got the horse, he's running through the... But that's Petra there, by the way. And by the way, you can go on YouTube and look at videos of Petra. Really incredible stuff. When Jesus says, "Those in Judea flee to the mountains when they see the abomination of desolation," many of us, me including, think that the place they're going to flee to is a place called Petra. Jesus is showing up. He goes to Edom, to a place called Bozra. Why? There's people there who he's very concerned about, who have said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're praying that their Messiah will return and return, because now they understood, boy, we really messed up and we really missed the boat. And then comes they're all going to turn, all of them. That's Romans either 9, 10, or 11. All of Israel shall be saved, but I can't go there right now. Who is this that comes from Edom in crimsoned garments from Barza? Who is it? Well, he who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. Well, who could that be? You almost have an idea. But then he answers, it is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Oh, now we know who it is. Well, there's no doubt. There's only one Savior. Jesus answers the question. And then they ask him another question. Why is your apparel red and your garments like his who treads in the winepress? And he answers, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood spattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. I trampled down the peoples in my anger. How does Jesus feel about anti-Semitism? Well, I can, you know, you add one and one, you come up with two, you did right. I trampled on the people in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath. I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. So this red dot, it's not his blood, it's the blood of his enemies. When Jesus came, he shed his blood. When he comes the second time, there'll be bloodshed, all right. Would it be his? No. Are they going to pull his beard out and whip him with not so? No. No. They would like to. Will they be able to? No. Now, this is a part of it. It's titled The Lord's Mercy Remembered. This is the ESV. It's only a title. It's not scripture, but I'm giving you an idea of what the next part is. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he hath granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them, to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths, like a horse in the desert they did not stumble, like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Now this last part is a prayer for mercy. Look down from heaven and see, from your holy and beautiful habitation, where are your zeal and your might? The stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me. For you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From of old is your name. By the way, who is being talked about here? You are our Father, though Abraham doesn't know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. O Lord, why do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants the tribes of your heritage, your holy people, held possession for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. You feel like that? Because I do. Lord, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's untoward. It's unsavory. It's against you. It's against your anointed. Oh, that you would come down, set it all right. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries and to the nation, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No one has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. Who you meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us. You have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please, look, we are all your people. Now, because it is... I'm just trying to, this is what's happening, this is what's going to happen. Now, let's turn a corner a little bit. You can go to, if you want, Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at the resurrection. I'm tying these ideas together. Now, after the Sabbath, by the way, if it's a good translation, and none of us have got a great translation, it should say, after the Sabbath, plural. Why? Because there was a high Sabbath that week. There's high Sabbaths and low Sabbaths. Low Sabbaths, there's 52 of them, 50 of them, I don't know. Every Shabbat, seventh day, the low Sabbath. There's six, seven, I can't remember, high Sabbath. There's a high Sabbath that week. They call it Passover. Technically, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the high Sabbath. Okay? So after the Sabbath. And that will help you explain why there's no Friday. When they had to get them off the cross for the Sabbath, during the day of preparation, there's a lot to it. I can't go into it now. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, what's the first day of the week? Sunday, today. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. By the way, he's not letting Jesus out. Right? Jesus walks through walls at this point. He rolls that stone, flips it like a quarter, I'm sure, to let the women in. To let Peter and John in, okay? Jesus isn't stymied by a stone. Just in case you're wondering. There was a great earthquake. Angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. How do you become like dead men, and tremble? Seems like you do one of those, okay? But I don't know how you do them both, right? But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Now, he doesn't say that to the guards. They're justified in their terror, okay? And he does not have any words of comfort for them. Their word to them might be repent, but that's for another time. Do not be afraid, he says to the women. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, but he has risen, as he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him. Behold, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, now in King James, all hail. No. He said, greetings. Like you and I would say, sup. Yo. This common greeting of the day. He said, greetings. I don't know. I love that. Why? I don't know, because I'm weird. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Look, let me wrap this up here. It's getting a little late. I know you got dinner planned and everything else. We went to Israel. You know, and by the way, thank you. You sent us. We went to the Garden Tomb. The night before, Ken says, we hadn't dinner with Ken today. Ken says, what's your favorite thing so far? I said, I know we haven't seen it yet, but it's the Garden Tomb. It was the next morning we were going to be there. And I knew. I know what I know. I said, the Garden Tomb. It's all about, for me, it's all about the resurrection. That's the whole shooting match. That's the whole thing. You get some esoteric knowledge. You think you know stuff. You're a holy man and this is the right. It all comes down to Jesus has victory over the grave, or we're facing death, and then what? He flew 11 hours to see nothing and loving it. They would tell us, boy, he goes, well, you can come all the way with me from America. You flew all the way across the pond, big old moat there that we have surrounding our nation. Came all the way over, flew over the Mediterranean, flew into Tel Aviv, bus all the way up to Jerusalem. Why? To see nothing and glorying in it all the while. So we went into what's called the Garden Tomb, right? And there was a line, and it was kind of a cold and a rainy day. And they had a stone there, but it wasn't the stone. It's something they'd put there for, you know, so you can take a picture of and things like that. Is it the Garden Tomb? Doesn't matter. Not really. It's what I think it really is, but take it from... Listen, I'm a construction worker, electrician, turned pastor, you know, I'm not an archaeologist. I think it is, for reasons I can't go into now. We were in there, me and Susan, and we took our little pictures, and we were... I looked at Susan, she had a face on that I'd call beatific. Now, you know I'm smitten by her beauty. You all know that. That's nothing new there. But she didn't have that face on. She didn't have, like, beatific, like, you know, her lipstick was just right. No, I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about she had a smile like, this is it. There's no one here. This is why we live the way we do. I just looked at her countenance and it was, I can conjure up in my mind, that's what I'm kind of getting a little bit. I haven't seen her like that since. A few times in her life when she's really touched by the Spirit of God in such and such a way. And I don't know what I look like. And she was radiant. Why? Resurrection, Jesus Christ from the dead, changes everything. Everything. Look, I know a lot of stuff about what's going on out there. How do you live in light of that? Jesus. He's coming back. He's going to have the victory. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I look at them as so many meat puppets, just doing Satan's will. Probably don't even know. Some, I'm sure, are on board, and they have elected to follow Satan. Some of them are just, oh, this is the current thing. This is how I gain power. Okay, I'll do that. All the conspirators are going to be out-conspirated. That's not even good English. It's great theology, though. Everyone is going to come to a sudden acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And if they're on board, great. If they're not, let me tell you, this changes everything. So I can live, and you can live in resurrected power. We don't. We can tread on snakes and scorpions. You know what happened the other night? I woke up and I had this night terrors. I haven't had them in like 20 years, and I was like, "What is that? What is this?" I don't know if it was a dream or something like that. I had to go to the bathroom, and I didn't want to leave the bed because I had the safety blankets on. It was like I was 13 or something. It was really crazy. I didn't wake up. I didn't tell you any of this stuff. I was like, "Wake up! Hey, walk me to the bathroom, will you? Because it might be boogeymen or something like that." And I just prayed and said, "Lord, I don't know what this is. I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I won't have no fear in my life." Why? Why can you do that? How can you? Jesus rose from the dead. He's treading on snakes and scorpions, and he's given me the power to do the same. So I prayed, and I get up, and I go to the bathroom because I'm an old guy, and you know how that is. And I went back to bed, and I just, like, freaking out. I was like, "What was that? Are you kidding me, Satan? Are you trying to put that on me, someone like me? I don't live like that. I don't live under the circumstances." Why? Resurrection power. He's given us... Listen, is there something in your life needs resurrection? Relationship? Finances? Health? You mentioned that relationship. Adam. That's dead. Oh, I believe it. That's why it needs resurrection. Jesus was dead. The disciples were without hope. I followed this guy for 3.5 years. We thought it was him who would redeem Israel, and now he's dead. And now he's resurrected. This is the day where you have to understand more than any other day. Satan is powerful, and Jesus is uber powerful. Jesus is so far above Satan, so far above his kingdom, so far above dominion and principalities and all those and people will make their plans. We will have this man rule over us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Okay? I don't want you to be overly concerned. I want you to concern yourself. I want you to know. Because it matters how you pray. It matters how you live. It matters what you know. Don't go around acting like a rube, not knowing anything. But how are you praying? How are you living? How are you... Okay, enough said. That's all I got. Let's have the worship team come and send us out of here in song. Why don't you stand at this point? I'll give you a benediction. How's that? Father, day of days, Jesus Christ, risen from the grave, there are those, and we know, when those perilous times run up to the tribulation, things are happening. We get it. We get it. People have their plans. Lord, we live in victory, and we thank you that we worship Jesus Christ, the victor. Grave couldn't keep him. Tomb couldn't hold him. Oh, we praise your blessed name. And you're so good to share with us the power of your resurrection. May we live resurrected lives. And may we be a blessing and missionaries to this lost world who seems to be more than ever in the grip of darkness. We would, Lord, set the captives free in your glorious name. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.